Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Number one reason the Patriots are going to be better this year. Is it the first one you started with, coaching?
I do think it's the coaching staff. We're looking at a fleet of guys who aren't just multiple years into the roles that they have, but they've been coordinators, including a passing game coordinator in Thomas Brown, who's been an offensive coordinator elsewhere. The wide receivers coach, Todd Dunn, he's been an offensive coordinator for 2 or 3 years. Last year, they didn't even have a guy who was coaching wide receivers who'd coached in the NFL.
Oh.
A regular here at Boston Sports Original, WEEI, Tom E. Curran, who is currently on a one-month interview hiatus, taking a little personal time. Don't blame him in the least little bit, because he provides quality content and perspective for us twice a week here on WEEI. Yep. We'll get Tommy back once training camp starts up July 23rd. That's him on Early Edition, NBC Sports Boston, talking about his recent piece he put out, 6 reasons why you should believe the New England Patriots are going to be better in 2025. Not a lot. Most people either do 5, 10, sometimes 8. 6, though. A nice 6-pack, Dan Ball.
Yeah. Something I think we could all use right now. How's your face holding up, by the way?
It's okay. It's much like myself after a couple of those 6-packs.
Just
tight.
Don't make a lot of expressions. Just keep your face very still.
I can't help it. It's like Jim Carrey in the mask with a flesh tone. I understand. And kind of shaped like that as well. All right. So 6 reasons why the New England Patriots will be markedly better in 2025. First, before we get into the reasons, are we all in alignment? Once again, word of the week.
Your word is alignment.
Alignment. Like on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
The word is alignment.
Ted, do you believe that the New England Patriots will be markedly better in 2025?
Well, I do, because, Andy, rips me every time I say that I think they're capable of winning 10 games. So I think they are a team that has the potential to double their wins. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if they didn't double their wins. So if they didn't go from a four-win team to an 8-win team, just based on the things we're about to list, I would be very, very surprised. I'm giving them a couple extra games because I believe in the coach. I believe in the coaching staff. You heard Tom Curran right there talking about the coaches they have. They're so much more qualified to coach NFL players than the previous 5 staffs combined. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, they really are. And that makes a huge difference. So I love the free agent haul, even though a lot of people look at that free agency and they go, those weren't big names. Perfect. All right? That they didn't need – Washington last year, the Commanders went and just got middle class free agents, solid starters,
right?
Nothing too fancy, just guys that were good leaders, pros, middle of the road guys to bolster their depth. And I think the Patriots did the same thing. And so the coaching staff and what they did in free agency are the two main things that give me optimism and why I think they can be better. And I'm not a believer in the Jets. I'm sorry, you got the Steelers in the second game of the season. I think Aaron Rodgers is a joke. I think the Steelers are turning into be a joke franchise, and so those are all valid reasons that would lead me to believe that this is potentially a 10-win team.
Just like the model, what's the catchphrase in Knoxville, Tennessee? Nothing too fancy, and the idea. Working class, blue collar, utilitarian, plug and play, guys that do jobs on your team that you need done, just like back in the good old days when you guys would do the same. You didn't have a marquee free agent until Roosevelt Colvin. He broke his hip his first year. That probably made Bill Belichick and company averse to spending tons of money on guys like that. And I think the coaching is reason number one, and that's why I think we all agreed as well with our pal Mike Giardi that the offseason MVP to date was Mike Vrabel. I'm with you. I think they should be able to at least double the win total, if not reach up for that plateau of 10 wins on the season. Dan, let's get into the list. The article titled, Are Patriots Truly Better Than Last Year? Yes, and here are 6 reasons why. What does Tom have as reason number one?
Well, he gave 6 super vague headlines for all of these, the first of which being new broom swept clean. There's an entirely new leadership council ready to ascend in 2025. So, Ted, you talked a little bit about offensively the leaders that were either there or not there. You groaned a little bit when we brought up the idea of Hunter Henry being a leader. So I'm curious on both sides of the ball. Do you get a good sense of the leadership that's been reestablished in New England?
I do. I do. You know what you had to do? You had to get rid of all the old. I mean, it's the thing. Even with Gerard Mayo, there's still Bill Belichick hangover. There's still hangovers. Like, there's guys that were on Gerard's staff that were still on Bill's staff. A lot of players that were on Gerard's roster last year that were on Belichick's roster. And a lot of that's been purged. I think rightfully so. There needs to be kind of a clear break from the old regime and the old way of doing things. It has to be a fresh start. And the way you do that is you got to purge a lot of those. Even though, like, David Andrews, look, doesn't it look like it turned out to be the right decision to let David Andrews go? I mean, he's not even playing football anymore. So no. That was the right decision.
Right.
And I just think a lot of the guys that were here under Bill and that Bill propped up, I think they needed to move on. And so I do think just being out there at practice for the 2 days at minicamp last week, I do get a sense that there are going to be new leaders. And this is what this team needs, is just a kind of a colonoscopy, if you will, of leadership. Purge out the old, bring in the new, just because the old kind of way of doing things was old and outdated and archaic, and there needs to be new ideas, new thoughts, and a fresh new leadership council.
And also, nothing wrong with the work that guys like Jonathan Jones did. David Andrews, obviously, who we had talked about when I saw him at that event 2 months ago. Like, this guy's lost a lot of weight. He's retiring. Like, this is the right move. A lot of these guys, it's just like they had a way of doing things, and it was the right way of doing things. But the longer you hold on to that ideal, like you said, Ted, you don't give these new players a chance to evolve into their own leader.
That's
give the
right.
team... You know the uniform or the iteration of the uniform they'll go with this year, blue and the silver and the rivalry uniform, but like let them be themselves.
If David Andrews was still on this team, real quick, sorry, Dan.
No.
If David Andrews is still on this team, is Morgan Moses talking like he does? Is he working with the guys after practice? Is Will Campbell, does his leadership development get delayed because David Andrews is still here? It needs to be a young uprising.
Harold Landry stepping in for Dietrich Wise. Dietrich Wise does an awesome job, but he goes to a team a little bit more ready to win.
Yep.
He can bring that Patriot cologne to Washington because they're on the verge of maybe doing something special in the NFC. But now, like you said, Morgan Moses and Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, your new leadership.
Milton Williams is going to be a great leader for the other defensive linemen.
He loves his spot right now. And he's going to be
Spillane.
Yes,
Spillane. Who's a – like that dude was like so serious when I interviewed him. I was like – bro, it's just you and me, man, with a couple of linebackers chopping it up. And I was like, so, okay, you know what? That's what this team needs.
Yeah.
They need that kind of mentality where it's just football, football, football is the only thing that matters. And I think they have it at each level of the defense. I really like the secondary. I mean, the corners, I think, are going to be special. And they got a lot of, you know, no-name safeties back there. You know, they got Kyle Duggar. Jabril Peppers, but they also have a lot of other safeties that I think are going to make names for themselves. So I just like the way the roster, particularly on defense, has been kind of positioned.
And the leadership concept, and we'll move on to the next bullet point from Tommy Curran, but leadership is such a fluid thing year over year, where what you needed from your leadership last year drastically does not match what you needed from your leadership this year. Last year you had such a young coaching staff and just a young group that you physically needed veterans, guys who had been in the NFL in their positions before and ideally with the Patriots before.
There's a vacuum of leadership last year. Elliott Wolf hired a bunch of guys he thought could help Gerard Mayo do the job, but nobody knew who was running. The inmates were running the asylum. It was absolutely chaos down there.
Right. So that dynamic was never going to work for a team that had aspirations of potentially making the playoffs. This year's group, it's guys that match the mindset of the coach, which is also leadership driven.
They do.
Matches the, you know, call him a hardo, whatever you want to say, but guys that have that same work ethic, the same sense of accountability. So they did a really nice job of matching their leadership with the coaching staff.
All right, Danny Football, what do we got for two?
Ironically enough, it's a wagon of a coaching staff. That is the second bullet point, and something, Fitzy, that you alluded to that Mike Giardi said, the MVP of the offseason so far being Mike Vrabel. Ideally, when we have this conversation, you know, beginning of the season, midway through the season, end of the season, we're saying Drake May or Christian Gonzalez or somebody that actually plays football for the Patriots. But as of right now, it's a pretty obvious thing that Mike Vrabel and his staff that he has established has been doing a whole lot more good than bad to this point.
Mike Vrabel, winning head coach in the NFL, had his issues in Nashville and departed unceremoniously midseason. Should have been the guy they hired last year, Ted. They get it wrong for a year. Now they get it right. And I know some people say, oh, jeepers creepers, I can't figure out. What if Thomas Brown can't work with Josh McDaniels, and there's too many guys trying to draw plays and figure out what to do on offense and trying to take control. Like, Mike Vrabel, number one, will never let that happen. And number two, when did it become such a bad idea to have too many smart people in the room with Super Bowl winning experience that have had success at the college level, at the pro level as well? Todd Downing coming in as a wide receivers coach. These are smart people. And again, there is a unilateral approach to the whole thing. The Vrabros. Mike Vrabel is comfortable with these guys. In order to establish your system and your culture, Ted, you got to bring in your guys.
And what I do like about the staff, I think Josh is at a point where Mike wants him to be collaborative with these guys. So you mentioned Thomas Brown, who was didn't he serve as the head coach for a year?
Yeah,
interim head coach when they got rid of
And Thomas Brown comes from a Sean McVay background. Mm-hmm. He is the tight ends passing game coordinator. You got Tal Dowling, who is the receivers coach, who comes from down in Cleveland, mm-hmm. from the Kevin Stefanski scheme,
tree, yep.
Which is the West Coast system. So you have guys from these different systems to come to give Josh ideas. Josh is kind of a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone's a former head coach twice, who's the offensive coach, what I think is the most important position. They have not taken that position seriously with the coaches they've hired for many, many years. That is the number one position where you got to have the most competent, capable coach. Better be the offensive line coach, and they finally got that with Doug Marrone. So I like the profile of this coaching staff a lot. On the other side, Terrell Williams, even though he's never been a D coordinator, it sounds like he's been prepped and ready for this. He's been in the league for over 20 years, that he's going to be a great defensive coordinator. So you have, I mean, there was times when Belichick literally made his son, Steven, like the safeties coach, you know, without telling him. He said, all of a sudden, there's a story that Devin McCourty tells about how, it might have been Brian Belichick, literally just didn't take his coaching staff serious. We saw it when he put defensive guys on the offense to coach. What happened with that? Vrabel takes care in the staff that he assembles, and you can see it when you look at the profile of the staff that these are real NFL coaches, and they haven't had, I think, a real coaching staff in a long time.
So we got new broom swept clean, and we have a wagon of a coaching staff. Two down, four to go. When we come back here on WEI Afternoons, we'll run through the rest of Tommy Curran's six reasons why you should believe the New England Patriots will be a much better team in 2025.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Give you two reasons on the other side. New broom swept clean, new leadership, new attitude, new approach, and a wagon of a coaching staff. Four reasons to go. Dan Ball, the calm is yours.
How about leading from the middle, Ted? The Patriots front seven, and more specifically their defensive front, has the potential to make a massive leap this year. Defense specifically is the front seven, the defensive line, the part of the defense that excites you the most. You just talked about the secondary, or is it just the whole group that has you excited?
For me, it is the whole group, but I'd say if I had to pick one of the groups, it's the secondary.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Carlton Davis. It's Christian Gonzalez. I'm big fans. Whenever you have corners that you can play man to man with, it opens up a lot for blitzing.
Right.
You can blitz more. And then whenever you have a dominant pass rusher. The Patriots don't have dominant pass rushers. Like, they have good guys. They have guys that can, rush the passer with stunts and twists in two- and three-man games, but they don't have somebody that can just beat a one-on-one block or beat a double team. Milton Williams can beat double teams. So if you have to – the only person on that defense, other than Christian Gonzalez, that they're going to probably game plan for is Milton Williams. So if Milton Williams is taking up two blocks – then somebody else should be free. If you have a secondary, especially corners that can be lockdown corners, then that allows you to take more chances with blitzes and not have as many people in the secondary because you have elite cover guys. So there is the makings of a very good defense. We will see. I do like the versatility they have in the secondary, mix and match with a lot of different types of body styles in that secondary. that I think. So Mike's going to have a smaller defense than I think maybe Belichick used to have and Rod. They're going more with, I think, just, you know, speed, and space guys. So we'll see. But the defense, it looks like that's going to be a big improvement from the, I think, the defenses in the past.
Fast, intelligent, smart, aggressive. You're going to be looking at healthy Barmore, Milton Williams, the ends. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to generate both, obviously, opportunities for the secondary to take advantage because they'll be pressing the pocket, get in there for the sacks as well. And I think, I can't tell you how many times I've referred to Efton Chisholm III and Kyle Williams as the timeline kings because there's always something positive on my timeline right. about either of those guys. But honestly, the third one would be Robert Spillane. If I read one more time, Robert Spillane will be your new favorite Patriot by halfway through the mm-hmm. season. Ted, I think he is absolutely going to clean up and dominate this season. Dan, what do we got for number four?
All right, onward we go. Ted hit on this very briefly, so Fitzy, I'll go to you. Shut down secondary. The cornerback position is the one that maybe does have the chances as a position group to be quote-unquote elite. The safety position has a little bit more that's still to be determined, and I feel like between Craig Woodson and Marcus Epps, you have two guys that are further down in the depth chart, but may end up pushing for some serious reps this year.
Craig Woodson, all reports early where he was one of the stars of OTAs and minicamp as well. Smart as a whip, people say that he's diagnosing plays like a veteran McCourty already just in his rookie season, or at least the early start of his rookie season as well. Epps, value player with familiarity out with Josh McDaniels at the Raiders. You know Kyle Duggar is a plus-level safety when he's healthy.
Right.
Coverage at times suspect, but hits like a freight train. Nobody brings more violence to the table appropriately in a football capacity than Jabril Peppers. And hey, guess what? Now, on top of it all, you have two really, really, really good corners, one of which I think Ted and Christian Gonzalez, thanks to probably having Carlton Davis on the other side, is ready to take a next step towards elite superstardom in the NFL.
No doubt. No, he had the play of the minicamp when he intercepted Drake May down the right sideline, one-handed over-the-head catch. It was excellent. And you know what? I'm a big fan of Marcus Jones at the nickel. Look, I know he's a little bit undersized.
Same.
But you know what? The guy will hit you as hard as he can, even though he's smaller. I do like his abilities there in the nickel slot. And you know who was making a lot of plays when I was out there? I mean, Jaylen Hawkins, who was, a guy on the bubble. You already mentioned Marcus Epps, but Del Pettis is a guy that was making plays out there. Hell, Isaiah Bolden, when I saw practice, had a pick six one of the days I was out there. So it's a lot of these guys. I'm a little bit surprised that these are holdovers from the old regimes at the safety position that they see something in. And they just looked organized. It was like a concerted effort. It looked like nobody was giving up, was missing assignments, and it didn't look like they were running basic, simple schemes. They were doing high level schemes. So it feels like it's going to be a smart, tough secondary for sure.
And Hawkins and Pettis made the most of their opportunity on a crap team last year. But also, we should mention back to the stronger up the middle. Christian Ellis, who got a nice little shine in Mike Reese's news and notes last Sunday as well. The Raiders tried to sign him away from the Patriots to take over because Spillane came here on a 3-year, $33 million deal. And instead, the Patriots matched it and kept it. They have linebacker depth for the first time in forever as well. Yeah. There's another guy that can play the middle and the back end of the field very well.
One thing before we go to the next one we do, I need to see a big jump. I want to see Christian Barmore. I know the blood clots, but let's just assume for a minute they're not a factor. I'd like to see him earn that money. I'd like to see him be the player that people think he is and that he's being paid to play. I have yet to really see that with any consistency. So I want to see Christian Barmore take a big jump.
So the number five on the list, Fitzy and Ted, is breezy schedule, which we've talked about ad nauseum. Your first four games against the Raiders at home and then at the Miami Dolphins, against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, and then against the Carolina Panthers at home before you get Buffalo, New Orleans, Tennessee, all three on the road. So just a quick snapshot. First four games of the season, what do you need to see the record to be to feel good about where this team is going?
Bare minimum two and two.
Okay,
you're gonna have your hands full and then some with the Raiders coming in. You're gonna get, Geno Smith, massive improvement on the team. You got Brock Bowers, who's impossible for almost anyone to cover. You get the debut of Ashton Genty. Come on,
oh, that's your guy.
I know, man.
Running backs,
Ted. They're gonna. They're gonna give you a handful.
Gear for
then
the
you go to
backs.
Miami. You've talked about how tough it is in Miami when it's 107 degrees, and that's not even the real feel.
But I feel like they're taking a step back, man. Jalen Ramsey isn't happy. Yeah, you know, Tyreek Hill. He's starting to kind of make noise. I feel like Miami's going to take a step back. I don't believe in the Steelers. I'm sorry. I just kind of like. Over the Steelers are they're lost. They are a lost franchise, in my opinion. Aaron Rodgers, please.
They're stuck in mediocrity right now. Yeah. They don't want to go down, mm-hmm. but they're not really capable of going up, so they kind of just sit in the middle.
And please, Bryce Young, I mean, I know he played better last year, but come on. I just think
– He did.
They – 2-2, yes, at the bare minimum. I see a 3-1 start, though.
Ooh, okay. That.
You start hot like that, Dan, so long as you take care of, you at least split with Miami, you take two from the Jets, you split with Buffalo, you win all your winnable games, or the games last year we thought they would at least be in, 9-8, 10-7, become a reality, yeah. And then you see not only just improvement, you see a team to make you proud of again that has a true North Star, and what they have lacked for a while. Direction.
Last one on this list, and this kind of ties everything together. Players that have been added, leadership, new coaches, all that kind of stuff. The return of urgency was number six on his list. And the idea that, hey, if we go 1-3 in those first four games, that's not okay. And if you are, you're not getting back to the huddle in a hurry. We heard the story about one of the second-year wide receivers, I can't remember which, that they weren't getting back to the huddle in a hurry, and they got yelled at for it. So urgency, that's accountability, right. All those things that come with coaches and veterans, Ted, seem to be back in the mix.
It was the thing, Dan, that stuck out the most when I was at practice was how efficient and how urgent and how much purpose they practiced with when I was out there.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this was a professional run practice. Everyone's competing all the time and every single drill. And I don't hear this, the vernacular when Trod Mayo was, hey, we have patience. It's a 3-year build. And it just drove me insane that's really how the organization was thinking. And if the leaders of the organization are talking that way, that filters down into the players.
Right.
And so Mike has a different approach, and it feels like everyone is on notice and is playing with a purpose. And practicing with a purpose, and that to me usually does turn into wins when the fall comes around.
So long as there's talent involved as well. Notice nothing about running backs, nothing about elite receivers, nothing about a tight end room ready to burst onto the scene.
Other stuff is more important. Believe
defense
it or not.
And intangibles. I don't disagree with you in the least bit. Look, we can revisit this again tomorrow. We'll talk some more football again tomorrow. But this is Mike Vrabel's team. Entitlement has been removed. They're going to earn the right to play every day. There are your six reasons why, according to Tom Curran and your pals over here at WEEI Afternoons. Believe your Patriots will be better and make you proud once again to go down to Foxborough, listen to Crazy Train, and have a Bud Latte and some steak tips for breakfast.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.